Gardner, Town Council Meeting of June 19th, 2018.
And take good this work on Fifth Avenue, and you guys did this one a little bit later.
Meeting call, ask the clerk call roll.
Mayor Williams?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tim Marshburn?
I'm present.
Councilmember Andrews?
Here.
Councilmember Johns?
Present.
Councilmember Kennedy?
Here.
And Councilmember Singleton?
Here.
Councilmember Singleton, pledge allegiance, followed by an invocation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated.
If you'd like, please join me in prayer. Gracious and kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this opportunity to come together in this nice, wonderful building we have here in Garner and meet and discuss important items and topics that affect our community. I ask that you be with the members of our staff, members of this council, members in the audience as we discuss these items. Lift up those to you, Father, who are sick, those who are recovering from illnesses, those who are facing long-term illnesses. Be with those who have lost loved ones recently. We ask a special prayer, Father, for those men and women who are representing our country in military installations across this world and protect the freedoms of our country and the countries in which they are serving. We ask all these things in your son's name. Amen.
Okay, next is petitions and comments. That is time on the agenda for anyone who wishes to address the council. I ask you to limit comments to 3 minutes. You may go to the podium, state your name and address. Not on the agenda. Hearing no one, we'll go to the adoption of the agenda.
Mayor, I move that we adopt the agenda.
Second. Please.
The motion made, second to adopt the agenda. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. No presentation. Consent agenda.
I move adoption of the consent agenda.
Motion made second. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. We have two public hearings. I will open the public hearing. Ask for reports from the council.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of council. We are pleased tonight to present you with the final documents for the Garner Ford plans, which includes the comprehensive growth plan, which deals with future land use, and also the future transportation plan. And I will go over a brief overview, going over the background of where we are today and what we've done up until this point. The project kicked off back in May 2016, and it's been about two years we have been working on this plan. We've had quite a few opportunities for public involvement. We've had 8 focus group meetings. We've had some presentations at the Chamber of Commerce. We've had 2 public surveys. We've had several open houses. One was here at Town Hall last October, and 2 were at civic groups April of 2017. And this chart here shows the different groups that have participated in this plan. And the column on the left shows the public participation. We've also had involvement heavily by the Planning Commission. We've had several meetings and work sessions with them. We've also had the council assist us. We gave a presentation at the council retreat last year. And we've also had two council work sessions. And there's also been a steering committee that has played a vital role. And we had seven working meetings with them.
All right, I'm Scott Lane. I'm the consultant side project manager. It's been a pleasure working with several of you, all of you actually, and the staff, David included, as the client side project manager. It's been 2 years. A lot of this information you've seen, so I'll be relatively quick and fly at a fairly high level tonight and let people speak their piece on the public hearing component. So the comprehensive plan, the left side of the graphic here, the slide shows the major deliverables that were going on, and the right side shows just a brief description of what we're trying to accomplish with the comp plan on this one. This is really a new plan that we heard. We definitely spent a lot of time, as David mentioned, talking to different people in different ways. We had, I believe, 8 focus groups right at the outset, surveys, steering committee meetings, some of those workshops. We had 4 days of workshops for this plan. And we heard a lot of the themes here and many other things to help shape the recommendations. 5 topics. I'll go over this fairly quickly. Again, you've seen a lot of these. These are the things that are kind of high-level goals and objectives in housing, transportation, character, community character, recreation opportunities. We felt were also very important based on what we heard, and commercial properties and lands and development. The land use map is certainly a premier component of most comprehensive plans. It certainly wasn't this one. I believe we stopped counting at around 10 different versions of this, edits to get to this point. It is always a moving target because every time something changes or modifies on the land use on the landscape, this will change. This is a major improvement, probably of anything that's in this plan, over what you had that had a lot of big fuzzy planner circles. And now each parcel sort of has an identity of its own, as well as growth areas and target areas. The categories themselves are changed to be modernized and more reflective of what you have in the ground and what you hope to attract. So the recommendations, certainly these graphics got the most attention, I think, of anything, and the plans for better or for worse. The one that you guys did at the end for the historic downtown was magnificent. And I want to especially talk about JJ's and that transportation plan. I think we're on auto here, or someone's encouraging me to hurry. So transportation plan, another document, totally separate document, kind of similar formats, though. We want people to understand that these two plans were developed in tandem. Lanage map, physical recommendations, and the purpose, again, on the right-hand side, border cross-sections and 13 different policies were part of this. Heard a lot of things here about widening. We heard widening projects. Connectivity was very important. And that led to some guiding principles. Visionary, achievable, considers every single mode of travel, and efficiency and reliability, very important to us here. Connectivity improvements. The town has and will continue to certainly face challenges in terms of connectivity, both because of major roadways, periphery, and some stream and water features that are going on. But a lot of these connections that are shown here in the dashed lines will hopefully be built by private development. The lanage map, ultimately you want to tell developers what you want on the ground, and this is a tool that you can use to kind of help develop the ultimate cross-sections over time. Pedestrian facilities, I think this was totally revamped. One of the things we noted that was a lot of action was done here in town was new sidewalks and things over the past few years, so I want to make sure we paid attention to biking and walking. Greenways, crucial. There are towns in this region that really build a reputation for themselves around, believe it or not, greenways, and the town has beautiful parks and beautiful opportunities to connect neighborhoods to those and build new places for people to play and recreate. Transit, we could have entire separate days on transit right now. In the old plan, transit was a gleam in that plan's eye. Obviously, with the passage of the bond referendum in 2016, the town and the town staff has done a great job in keeping track of that, and we reflected that up to the last possible minute in the transportation plan with loop collector services, as well as looking at BRT, including one of our opportunity sites. That was a very quick overview for a two-year-long process. But we are ready to take your questions. We're very eager to listen to what anybody has to say. And thank you again for your time.
I'll hear from council first. Council members, start it in.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think I can be pretty brief, but I want to thank Scott and his and Stantec for the good job they did, and for all the members who served on the committee. I know Mr. Kennedy and Mr. Singleton were our council representatives. I think they did a good job. As it relates to the comprehensive plan, you know, the word comprehensive just kind of jumps out at me. It is comprehensive, covers a lot of things, and I think it'll be a good document for us to look at down the road. I'm sure it will come up, and I hope it will, at our next council retreat to look at it further. I'm always intrigued when I see new acronyms that I haven't heard of before. One that jumped out at me in this plan was OPAL, O-P-A-L, which I believe stands for Older Person Active Lifestyle. And
you can relate to that?
I hope I'm in, well, yeah. I guess I'm in that category. But at any rate, that was intriguing to me. And in particular, I like the part having to do with the five opportunity sites, which I think will be a nice challenge for us to look at these different sections of town and areas that any number of things can develop in those sites. That's pretty impressive. And I like the challenge at the end. It relates to the idea of creating success, the importance of partnerships, and the very practical suggestion relating to strong public-private and community relationships to make all these things happen. So it's a very good plan. I don't have specific questions at this point, but I'm sure it will in the future. And the only other thing I would say as it relates to the transportation plan, again, the three key components that I took away from that are the elements where you looked at roadways and connectivity, and in particular, pedestrians and bicycles. So there's some stuff in that area that I think that our town really needs to seriously consider. Some of the older generation may not be as excited about some of the bicycle and pathways and stuff, but as I travel across the country, I see many, many towns our size and the other size that are in the business of creating a bicycle space, and I think that's something we need to look at. And public transit system, of course, Garner stands, I think, to benefit as Wake County moves forward with that, and I'm excited about the possibilities there. So with that, I will let others either comment or ask questions.
Other council. Thank you. Ray.
Well, when it comes to vote, I'm going to vote no on this, and I'll explain why. I'm for about 90% of it. But Scott makes an excellent point. The zoning classification and clarifications they made on that map are wonderful, and that's great. It's so much easier to look at and understand. Like a lot of the concepts in the transportation plan, especially sidewalks, as I've said many times, we didn't draft a master sidewalk plan in 1999. We're still trying to catch up with sidewalks. Yes, I'd love to see more greenways. However, they cost money. We dropped the greenway plan 10 to 12 years ago, and the greenway we built is tied to White Deer Park. Cost money. There's just some concepts I'm just not big on. I think the two sites are intriguing. However, I don't think one we have any ownership of any land of is downtown. The other ones are all privately owned, and it's going to take a lot of money by somebody to buy it to develop those. I think the most intriguing one is if the bus stop out there, North South Station, and redevelopment of that area because of the impact it could have on the transit. I think that's very intriguing. It could really change that area. But again, it's going to cost somebody a lot of money. I reckon it's Go Triangle. The town, you know, we just don't have the kind of funds to do that. And as I mentioned at one of our last couple of meetings, and it's nice to talk about all the transportation improvements, and they're good, but you know, one reason we made some changes in this year's budget is we're woefully behind in repaving our own streets. And we've got to pay attention to our existing infrastructure before we get too terribly involved in some of the other infrastructure. You know, it's just the DOT's had this open house on this 2020 to 2029 plan. They talk about different roads and the widening, of course, block comments around here about Highway 50. But to do 50 from Cleveland School Road to Timber was about $86 million projected right now. 43.9 from Rand Road to Timber and 42 from Cleveland Road to Rand Road. And that's about $86 million. And that's today's projected. And that's in the plan to be done sometime after 2029. So that's a big kicker is the cost. So I like a lot of the concepts, but I'm, as I've stated many times, I'm not a complete speed fan at all. I think it's a fad. I stated at our last meeting, you weren't here, Scott, about some people I had who were planners who talked about Hillsborough Street, and although those changes are nice, they don't ride bikes from Hillsborough Street anymore because the changes made it more dangerous than it did, than it was. And I'm not against bike lanes at all. I just don't think we should give them a little strip and then narrow the pavement markings. I don't think we should take an existing lane and make it narrower and add a bike lane with distractions and driving at an all-time high. I just think we're just asking for trouble and putting cyclists in a dangerous way. That's just me. I prefer every sidewalk just to be 10 foot wide with that bike ride on that, but that's just money. That costs money also. So all of it costs money. All of it costs money to do everything. A lot. But again, I want to commend you a lot of good concepts and hear a lot of good changes. I think you're right. Y'all cleaned up a lot. Staff has worked well with people when they wanted to change the zone classification. Staff has done a really good job in working with people who have come forward since then and making some of those changes. I commend staff for making those changes. But I reference that when you're in doubt, not do without, but just have some doubt about some of the concepts long term, if that's the way to go. So, I mean, years ago, everybody thought cul-de-sacs were the way to go. Now they create sprawl. So, you know, that was the way to go. Talking 25, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, build cul-de-sacs. Now they're saying they're bad. So, anyway, that's why when I vote no, that's why I'm voting no.
It uses a long time. I'll admit that it's hard to catch up when meetings are separated by 5 months. It's like I tend to forget what happened in the last meeting, and it requires a lot of reading and time and effort. I appreciate the fact that Scott, you and your staff were had a real strong working relationship with our staff, and I think that they were able to get some things accomplished in the planning effort that, quite frankly, go beyond comprehension. And while I might be able to read it, I probably don't. I'm not able to read everything in between the lines and the subtleties of it. And as well as the dramatics, but I think there was some good work about the land use map, some of the hearings we had, and people that gave ample time for folks to come in, and how they're interconnected. I won't try to describe, but there was a lot of community involvement, which was very important. Opportunity sites get me excited of what could be. Only time will tell. And Fleet Street, or if that's the right terminology, I'm glad it was not one that was cast in stone, that had to be just because it's in here and we accept this approved the report. Doesn't mean we're going to start planning that tomorrow, I hope. But it's an idea, and there'll be others that can articulate that to the public, and one day some of those things might happen. When you mention bike lanes, I'm afraid you just all you've done now then is identified my age, and because I don't think I'm going to be on a bike, and I get scared. Really, I get scared driving with folks. I get close to them with a bike, but that's an age thing, and it's not reflective of the wave of population that will it's coming to garner. Overall, I'll vote in favor of accepting the report. I chastise myself for not being perhaps a stronger advocate and being more aware of some of the things that were going on, but I suppose the biggest thing is that you and David and Jeff, between the staff, you had a respect the staff. You were able to accomplish some things that all the professionals thought that needed to be done.
Okay, those in the audience may speak now. Come to the podium, state your name and address. I'll limit your comments to 3 minutes.
My name is Bill Morris. I live at 1920 Old Mill Forest Drive in Raleigh. Mayor Williams and members of the town council, thank you for the opportunity to speak. As I said, my name is Bill Morris. I'm the principal of Morris & Associates, a manufacturer of industrial refrigeration systems and food processing equipment that has been in Garner since 1974, almost 44 years. We make a lot of chicken processing equipment, so I hope everybody had chicken for dinner. Over that time, we worked hard to be good citizens for the benefit of all, and in 2002, Morris & Associates also became an ESOP, or an employee stock-owned company, which means all of our employees share in company ownership. I'm grateful for the hard work of John Hodges and Jeff Triedenberg and the Garner Planning Development staff for producing the impressive document before you this evening, the Garner Forward Transportation Plan. Transportation improvements are essential infrastructure for efficiency, effectively, and safely moving people within and throughout the rapidly expanding Garner community. I'm sure we all understand that implementation of this plan will result in notable socioeconomic impacts and disruption both to neighborhoods and to the business community. In fact, earlier versions of the Campos Southeast Study Area Plan showed the extension of Jones Sausage Road essentially rendering the Morris & Associates campus and manufacturing plant unusable, forcing us to relocate. Certainly, we hope in implementing this plan, impacts to existing business and especially major employers will be minimized. Those who know us understand Morris is committed to being good citizens and good neighbors. Since 2002, with hard work and by God's grace, Morris & Associates has grown and prospered. That God connection for us means we give 10% of net profits annually to God-centered community outreach, the majority of it local. In that 15 years, our total charitable donations have amounted to $4.6 million and counting. Morris has 141 employees and an annual payroll of $8.5 million, a lot of it spent in Garner. Since 2002, our total payroll has amounted to $116 million. Our company develops and produces all of its equipment in Garner, yet has a global sales footprint and many desirable and highly technical jobs, blue, gray, and white collar, 25 people in the engineering department alone, not counting senior management engineers. We utilize many local vendors and don't produce noise or smoke or effluent in our processes. As I said, we work to be good neighbors. I note in the guiding principle section on page 13 of the transportation plan, it states the following. The Garner Forward Transportation Plan considers users of all modes of transportation to produce a community that is more walking, bicycling, and public transit friendly than it is today. As an important guiding principle, I respectfully suggest the plan consider an implementation, expanding that principle to include a statement that says the plan shall also consider impacts to neighborhoods and the business community and especially major employers during its implementation. Also within the plan, the pedestrian recommendations and the bicycle recommendations include statements about implementation. As a, for instance, the case of bicycle recommendations, the plan refers to road diets as a tool to improve bikeways in the Garner community. The roadways and connectivities recommendations, however, do not speak to considerations during implementation. Garner has long been a community of local businesses, and hopefully there will be more and more of those. Garner's employment base and tax base will benefit from being more diverse and will fuel Garner's independence and prosperity. We are now certainly much more than a bedroom community to Raleigh. Much has changed in the last 15 years, but local businesses and key employers, including us, remain an important part of Garner's community character and context. In keeping with this coming growth in the roadways and connectivity recommendations, I encourage the inclusion of a statement regarding local businesses. specifically including two phrases acknowledging local employers. This section would now read, a key component of roadways and connectivity implementation is the identification and acknowledgement of major local employers. The implementation strategy shall consider the effects of transportation improvements on travel safety and mobility, commerce, employment, and existing major employers, development patterns, and the visual appeal of Garner. I ask you to consider incorporating these modest but important revisions as the plan moves forward to implementation. Again, I do sincerely appreciate your consideration as you and we work and plan together to bring Garner's exciting future into reality. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Anyone else? Hearing done, I'll close the public hearing. Call for a motion.
Question.
Okay.
Mr. Morris, do you have a copy of your comments that you could leave with staff?
Yes, sir.
We would appreciate that. Let me make a couple of comments relative to what Mr. Morris said. Quite frankly, it'll probably be difficult just to stop the presses and put everything in the report that you would like. However, we also heard what you said, and particularly about respecting and the employers of the community as well as the residents. And there is activity that will go on in your area, that is for sure. Whether your comments are in that report or not will not alter the fact that we are well aware of where you are and who you are and what you represent to this community, and we will be very mindful of the spirit and the content of what you expressed to us earlier as we move ahead.
So with that said, thank you, Mr. Kennedy. Are you ready for a motion now? I'm going to, as part of the motion, recommend that we incorporate the comments from Mr. Morris, either by way of addendum or procedure, how that's best to do, or certainly footnote the report with that since the report's already been printed. But with that one amendment, I'm going to recommend that we adopt the Garner Forward Comprehensive and Transportation Plans as presented to us this evening.
There's a motion in a second.
Second.
Close discussion. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed.
No.
Madam Clerk, will you call the roll?
Aye.
Steven?
Aye.
Councilmember Johns?
Aye.
Councilmember?
Aye.
Motion passes 4-1.
I appreciate Mr. Morris for adding Mr. Morris's comments in, because they were very important, and it's important that they be added in, because as Mr. Kennedy said, we heard what Mr. Morris said, but the fact is that we may not be up here when some of this is implemented. So unless you had the comments in the plan, then others may not, know what was there, unless they can go back and watch this tape in 5 or 6 years. I don't think it's that exciting to go back and watch, so just letting them know like it is. I appreciate you adding me in.
Sure.
These comments are worthy.
Good. Next on the agenda is Economic Development Budget Hearing, Michael Frank.
Everyone, please stick around a while. We're only getting started.
All right, good evening, members of council.
Let me open the public hearing. I'm good.
All right, so I'm here to give a brief overview of the Economic Development Department's budget. I'll just be very brief and then take any comments. And obviously, John and Joe are here as well, if there's anything specific that you want to ask them. So just a couple of things that I would note. The right-hand column that's grayed in is the actual budget for this year. So the manager's recommended budget fully funds, meaning it covers all the requested increases that were included in the economic development budget. So it's as requested. And there are only minor increases from the adopted budget, and those are associated with compensation and offset partially by some contract services decreases. A company that was previously used is no longer in service, so that cost was no longer reflected. So the net impact was just a small increase in the overall cost of economic development total. So with that, I'll take any questions, and I know Joe and John are also happy to take questions.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, just to put it in context, might be good to start off with a brief introduction. The state law requires us to have a public hearing for the economic development budget. It's something that I think this is either the second or third year. It was passed not too long ago, but they require us to reveal what's in the economic development budget as a public hearing. So just let the public know while we're doing this for just this section of the budget.
I didn't have his same one go there. Go ahead. You got anything else to add?
I do not.
Very good. Does anybody at this table have anything else to add? There's no action needed. This is just to receive comments. Hearing none, we'll move ahead. Mike Franks, recommended budget.
All right, now on to the fun stuff. All right, so this will be, I believe, the fourth time you've seen this first starter slide. So I'm going to be pretty brief tonight. We have had multiple meetings to discuss the budget, a couple public hearings, as well as a budget work session. This is just kind of put in context what we've done thus far, changes that I'm recommending, and then turning the floor over to you guys so you can discuss. So as I mentioned, we have had multiple different opportunities to discuss the budget beginning in May. We had a May public hearing on the 22nd. We also had a full-day budget work session where staff presented the budget to council, and we had a variety of different discussions. We also had a budget public hearing on June 4th, and here we are tonight on June 19th, where we are recommending this proposed council adoption night, and the final culmination of the process would be the budget being released, the adopted budget, on August 15th. In terms of the changes that are being recommended based on those conversations, start with there is a proposed increase in the vehicle tax from $15 to $30. That increase would fund additional or provide additional revenue of $270,000 in FY 2018-2019, and we think that would be closer to $370,000 in future years. And that's basically because we'd only be collecting, I believe, 9 months of revenue because some tax bills have already been sent out by Wake County. So with that $270,000, the recommended budget includes increased funding for resurfacing activities and also for funding a pavement condition study. In addition, the recommended budget, we have various adjustments that would reduce fund balance by $100,000. We would increase property tax and building permit fees based on up-to-date information on those revenue categories. We would eliminate funding for the Metro Mayors Coalition. We would reduce funding for debt service and fire, and that was, again, based on the actual results of the loan that they had to take out. So we were losing a preliminary plug number, and now we have the actual information from the loan. So it's not negatively impacting their budget. It's just reflecting the actual cost. We'd also reduce funding for a recreation superintendent. That position was initially funded for 12 months, and based on the current schedule for the rec center, we believe that we can push the position off from 12 to 11 months, generating a little bit of savings, and still have that position come in time so that they can make the decisions necessary to open up the rec center. And the final adjustment was providing an additional amount of money for training, cost, and legal services department. So with that, unless there are any questions, those are the proposed changes, and I will turn the floor over to council to discuss.
Any more comments?
Michael, on the last one, the additional funding for legal services, do I recall correctly that that's essentially an increase of somewhere in the range of $5,000, is that right? Or so?
The increase was for $1,000, and I believe there's a different member of staff that attends a conference at UNC, and it's covering the cost of that, and that individual does a lot of work for the town as well. That's my recollection.
Okay, thank you. Pretty minor amount.
And you guys were provided a sheet that does have the full breakdown that includes the different costs. So the memorandum dated June 19th from the budget team has two different charts that break down the revenue cost or increases going up and down, and then also the expenditure adjustments as well, and provide the dollar amounts.
Anyone else? Anything to say? I need a motion to adopt budget order 2018-3916.
I'd like to have any discussion on that.
Not only that, but are we going to hear from any public comments? Yes,
public hearing.
We'll give them a chance. We've had the public hearing.
Okay, very good. I don't know if we have a chance to, if anybody from the public wanted to comment, but you're right, we already had the public hearing. Okay.
Well, I'll mention one item that's up here. The first item Michael has listed about the vehicle tax. And again, we talked about this at our last meeting, is the reason we're doing this is because the dramatic increase is costing for repair, for asphalt repair and resurfacing. We had in our budget this year $475,000. The engineer's estimates, our own engineer estimates, were $538,000 for repair. So we were under there. And then the bids came in, and the bid was $694,000. So we were $219,000 off, almost a third. And the costs, it might have been an anomaly this year, but it's not going to come down much. Other towns are in the same boat we are. We're going to resurface a mile and a half of streets this year. We got 99 miles of streets in town. At that pace, it's going to take us 66 years to repave all the roads in Garner. That's not going to work. So we have got to try to resurface 4 to 5% of our streets every year, to give it a 20 to 25 year life cycle. Some of these streets last 30 years. Mine's getting redone. This is on this plan this year. The cul-de-sac I'm on is 34 years old. This is the original paving. Then we got another one that was just approved 20 years ago that's being resurfaced. Yeah, the cul-de-sac beside me got done about 4 years ago. It was 30 some odd years old when it got done. So we couldn't do all the streets. So we can't do that. And we've got to increase the revenue and dedicate it. So staff said, we definitely needed a new pavement condition study. That'll be done. Got a new software program, and we're going to have to, again, strive to resurface and repair. The cost of repairs is one of the big increases. And when you go out and dig the pothole up, you just don't patch it, and it pop right back up. You go out and actually redo it and help the structure of the concrete and the subsurface below it. So that's why we have got to go up, and that's what I mentioned earlier about the transportation plan. That's got a lot of great things in it, but we've got to take care of the roads we got. That's a priority. We don't need, you know, the state drive up here 9 Averysboro Road, go by Averysboro Church, there's several potholes. Now Averysboro Road is in there to get resurfaced again, and that's a state road. We got lots of town streets that need resurfacing, and that's why we're increasing the vehicle tax. And that money's going to be dedicated to resurfacing and repair activities of town streets. That's what it's going for. It's not going in the general fund, it's going to that. This year, there's one chunk of it in the general fund, which is already in the budget. And starting in 2019-2020, all that money that's raised from the vehicle tax is all going to Garner Streets, repairing resurface. We've got a budget close to $1 million a year, but we're not going to, we're just not going to be there. Because at 694, that was a little over 2 miles. We're trying to do 4 or 5 miles a year. So we've got to do $1 million or more in resurfacing. And we're not the only town. If you read other towns are doing, they're in the same boat. So we have to keep these existing streets repaired correctly. That's what citizens expect.
Okay, y'all refresh my memory. Did we vote on the ordinance?
We haven't had a motion yet, Mr. Mayor.
I might not. Do we need a motion on the floor and then further discussion? Yes.
I'll be happy to move, Mr. Mayor, that we approve ordinance number 2018-3916. Ordinance to appropriate funds, raise revenues for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2018, and ending June
30,
2019.
Second.
Motion made, second. All in favor? Look by saying aye.
Do we have a discussion, please?
Discussion would be in order.
Let's vote on the motion, then we'll have the extra conversation.
I thought Mr. Kennedy wanted to say something.
Okay, but go ahead.
point of order, please, then?
Budget shakes everybody up.
I think the first thing I need to say is town is in good financial condition. The budget is balanced, as it's required by law. Albeit it's balanced with $900,000 of use of fund balance. All of council knows the concerns, the questions are raised at our budget workshop about the use of fund balance, and it's been the continued use of fund balance for several years. We've had at least four budgets in a row that have used it. We've adopted it. That if you sum those up, it'd be in the range of $3 to $4 million of use of fund balance. However, in final analysis, by the end of each of those fiscal years, revenues were significant enough to over what was projected that staff tells us we did not actually have to use the fund balance that we were had put in the had approved in the original budget. But still, we invested or otherwise spent between $3 and $4 million, and the fund balance would be greater if we had not. I'm not against making investments in the use of tax dollars. I'm more about perhaps a little bit of policy and process. The record's going to show for those that look that we've had consistent and continued use of the fund balance as a strategy to balance the budgets. And I'll repeat that we are, even though we have done that, we still have a plenty of dollars in the bank. What does concern me is the potential impact on our bond rating. When the rating agencies review approved budgets as opposed to the final, but to your audit, I'm wondering how they will view us using fund balance to balance our budget every year for several years. I think we need to have a discussion, not tonight, but sometime between now and the end of December, on how the budget is presented. That is presented to us for discussion and ultimate adoption. It is easy to present a budget when you got a $900,000 bag of money to put on the table. And the eyes can be throwing darts at me, and that's all right. So if we're presented with a budget balance, as it may be, with fund balance, we have three options. We can accept it. We can reject the use of fund balance. We can raise taxes and or fees sufficient to eliminate the use of fund balance. Or we can reduce or otherwise, we can reduce or eliminate certain expenditures to make it a balanced budget. Although we had a three-fourths of a day of discussion and presentation on the budget this year, there was just not a lot of appetite about doing anything other than using the fund balance. Using fund balance is the easiest way. And if that's what council wants to do on a continuing basis, so be it. I do not believe it is good policy, particularly several years in a row. Therefore, I'm voting against this budget. Thank you, Mayor.
Could I ask for, maybe I misheard or maybe I'm misunderstanding, but I thought I heard you say that we're using $900,000?
It was $997,000, but on the adjustments, they're reducing the use of fund balance by $100,000.
Okay.
And all of the items in that were cited making up that figure are worthy items. We're trying to get on a cash basis on replacing vehicles.
There's this replacement of equipment that is sorely needed must be done for the fire department. There's a major thing, major software and hardware and software improvements needed for development services. So it's not so much that I'm against things that we need to do. It's how we get there. We just, as I said, and I'm, we were taking the easy way out, and I think that the citizens deserve a more rigorous approach to considering the alternatives of what can we do other than just reaching the kitty and pull it out. Although we've got the dollars and they can be spent, and they're spent on good items. This is not throwing it away. Let me tell you that. So, but it's the, I don't think it's a false a red herring to throw out the issue of how bond rating agencies are going to look at the use of fund balance. We've been very fortunate in our bond sales thus far. We've had an improved bond rating, and we want to maintain it. Perhaps that needs to be a part of the discussion sometime, what professionals tell us. But the budget's going to pass. I just think this is one last attempt to alert us of the importance of how we go through the budget process and do the hard work that's required to have a balanced budget and utilize in the best way. And this may be the best way. This is just one person's opinion, and I've been reminded of that I'm only one. That's fine. But the one will speak. I've said it plenty, Mayor.
Madam Clerk, will you read any motions on the floor?
We have a motion to approve the...
Put it on.
We're still discussing, I believe.
Good.
Oh, excuse me. Go ahead, Ken.
Well, a couple of things. I hear Ms. Kennedy's concerns, and I have a lot of respect for him, and I think I know where he's coming from, even though he and I don't agree on the ultimate passage of this budget, I'm sure. But I think it's proper to note that the town's current credit rating is it, what is it, Mr. Town Manager?
It's double A1. Is that correct? Yeah, double A1, yeah.
Which is
considered? In the double A2. There's two different ratings.
Yeah.
So double A2 and Moody's.
Yeah. Okay. And again, I since I don't have the exact figures in front of me, is it reasonable to at least note that all towns and municipalities are required to keep a certain amount of funds in reserve? Is it 8% or mm-hmm. I've forgotten what it is. But at any rate, I know the town of Garner has far exceeded that. And can you cite for us essentially what our current reserve percentage is?
The undesignated fund balance right now is $18 million.
Okay.
As a percentage, that's 55%.
Yeah. So, but at any rate, I hear Mr. Kennedy's concerns. I think the staff has laid out valid reasons for what they're doing as it relates to the fund balance. I will vote to approve it. No other question? I call for the question. I mean, if there are no other comments.
Okay.
Just to clarify real quick on the bond rating, we have the second highest rating from the top rating, AAA. The next highest would be a AAA. So we're one down below that.
Okay, the motion has been called for. All in favor of the motion, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Aye.
Madam Clerk, call the roll.
Mayor Pro Tem Washburn.
Aye.
Councilmember Berenger.
Aye.
Councilmember Johns.
Aye.
Councilmember Kennedy.
No.
Councilmember Singleton.
Aye.
Motion passes 3-2. Hell, I can't even count them. Okay, next is the Water Demon Church Academic Pet. Pet Patel, excuse me.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. My name is Hep Patel, senior planner for transportation and land use. I'm here in front of you to present on the White Oak Hebron Church Ackerman Intersection Improvements Project. I'm going to do this a little bit quicker on the first couple slides that you guys have seen before as we've presented to you multiple times. The project limits are from on White Oak Road from Bryan Road to Battlefield Drive, Hebron Church from White Oak Road to Clifford Road, and Ackerman Road from Hebron Church Road to Bryan Road. The need for the study was the opening of the two schools in the area, as well as some of the additional residential development that's coming in along Ackerman Road, and in general, the increased traffic that's coming into that intersection. So we've approached this project in two phases. We're currently in the first phase, which will end with the environmental documentation on a preferred alternative, which we're hoping to get through tonight. And then the second phase would be the final design for the preferred alternative that gets applied to the Capital Area MPO locally administered projects program for right-of-way and construction funding. In phase one, just a highlight of some of the activities we have completed to date, we had a shortlisted alternatives that went to the stakeholder meeting on April 16th. The council work session on the 24th reviewed those four shortlisted alternatives. Since then, we've met with NCDOT and CAMPO staff, kind of refined those alternatives with based on their comments, and then had a public meeting on the two alternatives. There's a summary report that has been shared with you that talks about the two alternatives as well as some of the public comments we've received on the two alternatives, and I'm here today to talk about selecting a preferred alternative. So just a brief overview, we started with eight alternatives, looking from short-term to long-term solutions, and shortlisted to four that were reviewed by a small group of stakeholders and yourselves, which were narrowed down to the two alternatives, which includes the alternative three, partial dual lane roundabout, and alternative seven, realignment of Hebron Church. Those two alternatives, after the council work session, were taken to a public open house meeting to receive comments from the general public. Just a quick overview of the two alternatives. The partial dual lane roundabout basically is a 170-foot diameter four-leg roundabout. It wouldn't include a Ackerman Road extension, a future Ackerman Road extension. Operationally, it is at a level of service of A in the AM peak and B in the PM peak, a cost of about $1.29 million, not including the right-of-way needs. And some of the issues include utility relocation. It would be one of the first dual-lane roundabouts entries in the area, and some of the signing and marking concerns. The alternative seven, realignment of Hebron Church, is basically separating the two intersections and realigning Hebron Church to intersect at White Oak opposite maybe a potential future Timber Drive East extension. It would be basically constructing a new two-lane roadway through some existing residential properties. The level of service for this one in the AM, it's for the White Oak Hebron intersection AM level of service is C and PM level of service is C. And for the White Oak Ackerman intersections, the AM service would be C and a PM service would be B. Just one thing to mention on this project, or for this alternative, it could be completed in two phases where the realignment of Hebron Church happens first, and then the intersection improvements that you see in the north of this picture on Ackerman happen later on whenever future development needs kind of dictate that. So the cost estimate that you see here has been slightly refined from what was presented to you in the memo. $1.97 million is the cost estimate for the first phase, which would be just the realignment of Hebron Church. And that, again, does not include right-of-way impacts to the nine properties and the one structure take. So the public comment summary, we had about 48 participants that came to the public open house meeting, which included 31 completed surveys, and 94% of the completed surveys indicated that they strongly agreed or agreed that this intersection needed some kind of improvements. And breaking that down further, 55% reacted favorably, so 55% either strongly agreed or agreed with alternative three, the partial dual lane roundabout, and 40% reacted favorably to alternative seven, which was the realignment of Hebron Church. I'm going to quickly go over a few benefits and concerns, and then these will lead into the council discussion points that I have. So the benefits for alternative three is significant operational improvements that it provides and a lower cost compared to the other alternative. Some of the concerns for the partial dual lane roundabout include the utility relocation, as well as having the first dual lane roundabout in the area and some of the educational learning components to that, as well as potential reimbursement to Campo through the LAP program if and when White Oak is widened to a four-lane facility. And then for alternative seven, there is still some operational improvements from the existing conditions. It would help set the intersection for a future Timber Drive East extension for it to come back into White Oak, and there wouldn't be any potential reimbursement to Campo LAP for the White Oak widening. And concerns include the higher costs, as well as some of the right-of-way property impacts that would be required, and trying to fit that into one Campo lap cycle for a project. So, as I mentioned, some of the discussion points. The first one is looking at long-term solution for Timber Drive East extension and where that comes back into White Oak. Alternative 7 would allow us to set this location, and alternative three would let future development actually dictate where that intersection happens. The potential right-of-way impacts and cost estimates, alternative three has a lower right-of-way impact and cost estimates than alternative seven. In terms of the implications for White Oak widening to four-lane facilities, so the Campo MTP 2045 plan has identified White Oak widening to four lanes in the horizon year of 2035. And again, this is just a planning document, so there is potential for change there. But we would like for you to consider alternative three. If White Oak is widened to a four-lane facility, it would require some reconfiguration of that partial dual-lane roundabout to accommodate the second southbound lane going down onto White Oak. And alternative seven connects or is more consistent with the future typical section of a four-lane White Oak, so there wouldn't be any reimbursements related to that. And then the last discussion point is a public support for alternative three was slightly higher than the alternative seven. And I'm here for any questions or comments, as well as our consultant Arcadis, project managers here as well.
But you need the council to select preferred.
Yes, right. We do need the council to determine a preferred alternative.
Okay, council.
Question?
Go
ahead. Hit, would you review for us and just on the level of service of three versus seven? Let's just isolate that for a second.
Yes, so the level of service for three in the AM peak is A, and the level of service in the PM peak is B. And for alternative seven, the level of service in the AM for White Oak and Hebron intersection is C for both AM and PM. And for White Oak and Ackerman extension or intersection, it would be C in the AM and B in the PM.
And they're currently at D, correct?
Right. Currently, they are operating at those levels.
Okay. Okay. Now let's compare the cost estimates that are there today versus the cost estimates from 6 weeks ago. Because it seems like that they've gotten a lot closer together. One has risen and one has dropped significantly. Can you tell us what's going on there?
Yes. So the cost estimate for alternative three went up based on some of the additional refinement that we've incorporated into the design, as well as the right-of-way identified to accommodate a southbound lane, as well as just looking at other dual-lane roundabouts in the area. We added some contingency costs to alternative three that have increased that cost estimate. And then alternative C, as I mentioned, the 1.97, which just came down from, I think it was 2.3 before, it's lower because it's only showing you the first phase. It's only showing you improvements for Hebron Church coming into White Oak. It's not showing the northern improvements right there. So it's showing the first phase of what could be done and creating a better apples-to-apples comparison of the intersection improvements.
But you're $1 million-plus dollars short of doing the ultimate goal there, maybe half the cost of what it is. So, I mean, to me, this is just a simple decision. Why would we spend all the money and time and effort to raise the level of service from D to C when we can raise it from D to A? I mean, to me, it's not even a hard decision. You know, the impact about paying them back for widening White Oak, let's be honest. I just talked about Highway 50 tonight. I mean, that's not the plans for 2029. If we don't, if they widen White Oak before they do 50, they'll ride on Town Hall and on the DOT bill, residents will. Let's be honest. I mean, we're not going to see that in a long time. We can't make a decision that something may happen in 20 or 25 years when the issue of if the traffic is today. I mean, just look at the last 4 or 5 years, the impact that it's had in that area. This White Oak Road has been steadily traveled, but the school has added, of course, additional traffic in the subdivisions. So, I mean, to me, this is not even a hard decision. If you can go to all that effort and just include, just go from level D to level C, I mean, why even do it? You know, if you're not going to improve it to level A, and I know there's talk about it's the first double lane roundabout. Well, heck, if they do the 70 alternative or we do the free flow movement, that'll be the first one of those in the area. I mean, this is the way of the future, folks. This is the way it's to drive. I explained to my father, who's 79, I said, this is not being designed for you. This is being designed for your grandkids, and you'll figure it out. You know, it's just the roundabouts are common all over, not only a lot of the world, but other parts of the country. We're going to see more and more of them. I mean, correct me if I'm not wrong, you had on this particular type of a roundabout, didn't they say there's a couple of them being considered in two other parts of the state, a couple other parts of the state, down in Charlotte or Statesville?
I'm not sure about this.
That's the free flow traffic. I'm sorry. That's okay. What they're doing. The free flow.
We've got this. I'm familiar with it in two places back to back in Charlotte right now.
Okay.
So I drive on them every time we go see our children.
Okay. I think the concerns I hear from citizens are the level of service and to back up the traffic. And it's just, you know, the intersection now is just really, it's just a boondoggle of what it is. And the goal here is to increase the level of service. Yeah, White Oak might be wide one day, but Hebron Church Road might be extended out to 50 long before that, and that'll take a lot of traffic off. I mean, I think that's not even considered or mentioned. So not Hebron Church Road. I'm sorry, Ackerman Road. Thank you, Ackerman Road. May happen. I think the Timber Drive extension, we all agree, may be all driven by development. We don't know, but to me, it's just. There's significant utility relocation. They got to learn to do an entry roundabout. So do we. Whether it's teenagers or so, it's me, and I'm 55. I still got to learn how to drive around it. Everybody would like to learn, but we have to do the same on the free-flowing intersection if that's done at Timber and 70. So, I mean, it's just a way for making transportation easier and a more common practice in other parts of the world. So I just think that's one of the goals, is to increase the level of service for everyone, whether they're going to the school or coming from south in Johnston County, driving up White Oak Road or going to White Oak Shopping Center or whatever, and increase the residents who live out there to make it a more free-flowing intersection.
Could I continue on for a minute? I think you noted on alternate 7 the number of properties that would be involved. Impacted in that triangle that's created. Would the residents in that triangle are we anticipating purchasing their property and displacing them, or would they be allowed to live there? And how easy is it going to be for them to get in and out?
So.
That part of the conversations have not happened with NCDOT yet. That would be, if you were to select this alternative and go through with the final design, you would get to a point where you're talking to each property owner and figuring out, for the most properties identified that are impacted, there isn't any structure takes. The only structure take is a shed, which doesn't have any, it didn't have a building value or heated square footage. It's a storage shed. So driveway access is most likely would have to be talked through with NCDOT and figured out, but there aren't any direct structure takes that would maybe require relocation. But again, I think that conversation would depend between NCDOT as well as the property owners.
I think the last time we looked at this, we also had a comparison of the acreage that we would have to purchase in one of them versus another one. And there was something like 7 acres in one and less than 1 acre in alternate three.
It's actually 0.6 acres in alternative three and then 0.97, I think, in alternative seven.
We also run the risk of adverse condemnation, and we that under alternate seven and run the risk of having to purchase those.
Yes, there is additional right-of-way that might not have been picked up directly by those impacts and based on what?
Cost of land included in this in these two estimates.
No, the cost of right-of-way has not been included in either alternative.
I think we're getting a good differentiation between the two alternatives then.
It seems pretty clear which is the most beneficial alternative. Lots been said and lots been explained, but it's pretty clear.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Mr. Singleton's explanation here. I think we've had good success. I realize it's a single lane roundabout that was created out here at Vandora and Buffalo Road. Some questions about how people would adapt to that, but it's certainly a safer and an easier flow through there. And probably we've all driven through dual lanes. You can adapt to those pretty quickly. So for a variety of reasons, the cost being one, and I think the improved service level there, I would certainly opt for the roundabout alternative.
One issue is concern, and what Mr. Morris touched on, existing businesses. The one thing that concerns me is when you go north, and you're changing the conversion of the lanes overhead. If you got the bigger version of that, a little bit bigger, I can see more of a.
I can pull up a bigger graphic.
I didn't mean to get so much trouble. Okay. I just want to share my point and show it to everybody. Yeah, the lane. The two lanes coming together, you're merging the one right at the driveway into the industry of an existing business, which will back up traffic. So I would hope we would consider and look at making that lane a little bit longer. I think a couple of you mentioned in comments that you need a left turn lane into a business. If you merge the traffic there and people are in turn left and they were stopping the traffic, so we're not helping ourselves. I think that travel lane should go a little further so you have an existing business that someone can, that people use. Again, it's in the comments. Because if you have a merge right where the driveway to the business is and people turn left, then you're backing up traffic. I just think that, to me, it should be included that should be extended a little bit further. Because it's right there as it merges. I think it needs to be considered.
Definitely.
You two, which alternative?
Three.
Yeah, I favor the roundabout alternative.
Make a motion. We accept the alternate three as the recommended alternative.
Second.
Motion and second. Further discussion. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed.
Sorry, I should have done this a second ago. I have a simulation for alternative three that I wanted to share with you guys as well. It just shows how alternative three would function. Um, As you can see, the northbound lane from White Oak is, you know, goes directly without actually having to enter into the roundabout. And as you're coming from Ackerman, you could either go that way or come out this way.
I guess you don't guarantee that traffic will actually move that smoothly as depicted on the video.
I cannot guarantee that.
That roundabout, I think we asked this question earlier, was big enough, like there's a dump truck with trucks and buses. It's made, and if they ride up on the side, it's concrete, but they ride up on the side, it takes care of that. We saw Sunday night, saw one of those in Tarboro last week, and he was driving me around. But that came up, he asked me the question. He said, how come the trucks hit the side of this design like this? See how flush it is. He was asking me why it was designed so tight, and I told him that's how roundabouts were made, so they could ride up on. I said, I even had to explain to him how fire trucks, in some cases, could ride right across it if they needed to cut through traffic. Anyway, it's a good education point, and I just want to make sure. I knew that. I think we'd already asked that question before. Thanks for the information.
Thank you. Good simulation.
Okay, next is the Community Development Block Grant amended. Jeff Trisberg.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Just real briefly tonight, I just wanted to see if you had any questions on the CDBG agreement. On the advice of the attorneys at Wake County, it's been quite a number of years since the original agreement was put into place. As an urban county, each of the jurisdictions in Wake County are entitled to receive CDBG and HUD funds. However, if we each got our own little pot, it wouldn't amount to a whole lot. So back in the day, all the member jurisdictions agreed to kind of pool their resources so that bigger projects could be achieved throughout the county on a year-by-year basis. In years past, each year it's been automatically renewed. The town of Holly Springs for a number of years has not participated, but they have come back to the table and would like to pool their money in as well. So now I believe almost every jurisdiction except for Raleigh and Cary, which operate their own CDBG program, will be part of this county program. So Wake County has asked us to go ahead and just reauthorize the agreement. And if you have any questions, I'll do my best to try to answer.
Move to approve the Wake County amended CDBG cooperative agreement.
Second. Motion and second. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Ken Marshman, I was committed for HR.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As council can see, on the agenda form, Mr. Johns and I comprise the HR committee, and we've met at least a couple of times. Interviewed for several of these, and I should also note that generally by sort of a standing rule, persons who have served and desire to be reappointed and are eligible to do that, generally speaking, they are asked to serve an additional term. So you'll note on here that was true in several of these areas here. I'll be happy to read the names of the folks, or if the clerk needs me to do that. Otherwise, I would recommend that the council approve the recommendation from the HR committee that these persons, these citizens, be appointed to serve on these various committees. Do I need to read those, Madam Clerk? Okay. Be happy to try to answer any questions if you have. No questions. I put that in the form of a motion, Mr. Mayor.
Motion made. Second. All in favor, vote. I say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Thank you. Again, we have committee reports. Yeah. Manager reports.
Mr. Mayor, Town Council, you have in front of you the Garner Info Report in yellow. So if you have any questions about that. Also, in your agenda packet, you have the building permit report that shows the construction activity over the last month or so, and then also a finance report that shows kind of a year-to-date of where we are with the budget. And I was going to mention a rec center tour, but we are going to reschedule that in light of the heat and some schedule conflicts. So we'll get back with you on when it'll be a more appropriate time to do that. And other than that, I don't have anything else.
Mr. Attorney, do you have anything?
No, it's not.
Closed session.
We've got a closed session. Is that not tonight? There's nothing for closed session.
Good. The closed session would be under General Statute 143.318.11(a)(4) to discuss economic development. So at the end of this, the recommendation would just be to announce that and go into the closed session.
That's what we're. Okay. Let's go into closed session.
We'll have council reports first, maybe.
Okay, let's start with you, Ken.
I don't know if this is the best place to mention it, but I'm wondering if anybody can tell me what is happening at the, I think it's called the North Point, that formerly had a previous name, the rest home out on Statesboro Road. The building is abandoned. It looks like it's being vandalized if you go on site, as I did very recently, and there are mattresses sitting out in the front entrance and an old couch. When I passed by there or walked by there on Sunday, I'm pretty sure there was an individual who is not a resident there, seems to have taken up residence there, was there in an agitated state. But anyway, I've had a couple of citizens to express concerns about that. So I'm wondering if whoever owns the property now, if we can contact them to ask them what their intentions are to do with this building. I mean, you can go by there, the windows are broken out, and so forth.
Yeah, I'm going to turn that over. I think Mr. Triesenberg has some information about that property.
So we can certainly convey those concerns to the property owner. They are actually in the process. I believe we finally got our first round of submittal for a new site plan. That facility was closed some months ago. It was having, I think, some regulatory issues. And so the owners of the property are going to be completely demolishing the existing structure and coming back with a new site plan for a multi-story facility that will be brand new. But we do have contact, as I do, our department, with the site designers, so we can try to get in touch with the actual property owners, and we'll work with the code compliance folks to try to get that addressed.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, it would be helpful if it seems to me if somebody could either put up a security fence or something there to keep others out who probably shouldn't be there, and get rid of some of the old trash and stuff that's there, but maybe they're going to do something pretty soon that's not necessary.
They have an active demolition permit right now. They are in the process of demolishing the building. They've been in there removing the roofs. Prior to issuing the demolition permit, they allowed Garner Fire and Rescue to do training on the full building, and that's where some of the openings have come. Mr. Singleton had brought to the attention that they had quit mowing. The owners didn't realize their mowing contractor just left. Since then, they've been mowing the park from the old retention pond to the road and keeping it mowed. But they are in the process. They're currently doing asbestos abatement, and then at that point, they'll finish raising the rest of the building. So they're sort of removing junk and debris as they go. So it's an active demolition site is from our standpoint right now.
Okay. That's good to know. I wasn't sure. Thank you. That's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Kathy.
Yes, sir. A couple of questions. What have we, or are we hearing anything about Google Fiber? I know they have withdrawn their permit for the hut, but this time last year we were getting complaints about them disturbing water lines and so forth, and then suddenly nothing. So do we know anything about their future plans?
I have not heard from them, and it's probably been at least a year. The last I heard was that they were looking at maybe some other alternatives besides putting fiber in the ground. But I think the market changed. I believe, you know, the installation in other communities maybe it didn't go as smooth as they had hoped it would. So they had some issues coming out of that. They told me last time I spoke to them that they were going to serve the communities they promised, but it just gone silent in over a year, so I have no idea. I'm not going to really say what my personal opinion is, but I wouldn't really wait on it too hard. There are other entities that are putting fiber in this market and in other ways, so I think the market just rapidly changed from the time they made the announcement to now.
And do we have an update on the sidewalks or greenways or whatever from the Lake Moore area to White Deer and Buffalo Road? I know the Lake Benson Park. I know we had, consulting firm is working on some plans.
They're still working on it, and I know Mr. Roy Lance, when he returns, they will be having a meeting going over some of the alternatives, but they are steadily working on it. We don't have a plan or a timetable of when the greenway would be put in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to take some assessment and looking at the cost and the route, but I mean, they're currently working on looking at route alternatives
Next month or so. Okay. Because this is something we've been talking about for 5 years or more, and mm-hmm. we're getting questions from citizens who want to know where we are and what might happen. So I'd like to get some information about that as soon as we can. And one more quick thing. In walking on Garner Road some last week and this week, I noticed lots and lots of trash again out there. Do we have a routine for checking streets on a regular basis for debris and trash, or is it on a complaint basis?
It depends on whether it's on our mowing route. I mean, if it's on the mowing route, they collect litter before they mow those stretches.
Okay. Last weekend, it looked like somebody had a free-for-all up and down Garner Road. We found something
I know
30 lottery tickets along the road.
I saw them over the last day or two mowing that stretch of
right.
road, so they picked up litter before they cut the grass.
So it follows the mowing schedule?
For the most part.
Okay.
Unless there's a complaint that there's an abundance of litter in between the mowing schedule.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you.
A couple of meetings back, I brought up about Smith Drive and Newran Road, and we realized that Newran Road is a state-maintained road, and I noticed the weekend that someone had come and put some gravel, a cement or something in the road, that the road actually need an extra pipe widening to make the turn.
Yeah, I don't know all the particulars on that, but I know that Mr. Roy Lance and Mr. Jones with Public Works Department, they did go out and take a look at that section and did determine that it would need pipe or some extra work, but I don't know exactly what the status is, but I'll follow up on that.
Okay.
Know if anybody else knows anything about that situation is here, but they did go out and look at that.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Mayor, I'll mention, talk to Mr. Biggs there tonight. We talked about complaints inspections get. Tall grass complaints are pretty high right now, and I appreciate what they do on that. Mr. Marshall brought up the former rest home down there for a road, and I've turned that one in. Of course, I turned a lot of them in. But, Mr. Beasley and his group work on it as best they can, and I try to address them, so I appreciate that work. Even though it's 98 or 99 or whatever it was today, and the grass is hot and dry, that rain we got, it just keeps it right up. So I appreciate the work they do. That's not a fun thing to do. And some people have reasons they can't do the yards, and some people don't. So I appreciate the work they do. That's all.
John, you know if... any benchmarking on the Rohrbaugh Bridge has been accomplished to see if we're in the groove of checking elevations? People continue to ask me that from time to time. I know we brought this up, and we asked engineering maybe 6 months ago to do that, if you could just check on that sometime.
They did complete a series of measurements. I don't know where it went once that was completed. That work was done. Mr. Schalk is out today. He'll be back tomorrow, so we'll get you an update on that.
Well, you've got they got it started, so they got it in essence set a benchmark and benchmark the elevation. So now we'll have something to compare to.
Yes, sir. Am I correct in saying that they believe the movements in the road and not the bridge? Is that?
Well, we'll find out.
Part of the assessment, or is it?
That was a part of an initial findings. Yes, I think we'd probably like to see some time pass to validate or corroborate that.
That's what DOT told us 2 or 3 years ago, that the road apparently heaved and the bridge remained still.
I don't know if the problems with the bridge or the road, Mr. Kennedy, but yeah, there's a lot of movement in vehicles when they go across that bump there.
The problems with
disconcerting, to say the least.
That's all I have.
Rodney, do you have anything on the status of moving the depot?
Oh, no, that will be coming up, I guess, in a month or so, or, well, maybe less than that, but no, I don't have an update on that yet.
Okay, we're ready to go to closed session.
We go into closed session per the site that Mr. Anderson previously gave us, 143-318-1184, to discuss economic development.
Second. Second, all in favor, vote by saying aye.
No action. Mayor, I move we adjourn.
Let's adjourn all the favors. Okay. Let me take that.